You're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And my God.
John's back.
Holy shit.
It's only been like 6 months.
At least.
Yeah, it's been six. The last,
it's been 2 years last Red since Wire you were like moment. A regular.
Yeah, I know. Was yeah. May 28th.
Yeah.
It was the last time I was on the show.
I guess it hasn't quite been 2 years since you were regular.
No, it has.
Has it been?
Yeah.
Since
yeah.
you were regular? Yeah.
Yeah,
because you had a big set of orders.
The pandemonium.
And you had the other orders, and yeah.
Right? The pandemonium started.
Yeah.
The world closed. I did a few episodes, and then I was gone for like 6 months on orders. And then I was back for like a show, and then I was gone for like 3 months. And then I was here for a few months, and then I got another set of orders, and I've been gone for the last 6 months.
Well, some of our listeners may or may not have believed a story where you actually went ahead with a sex change. Your name is now Joanne, and you go-go dance in the Caribbean. I may or may not have started that rumor.
I believe that. I know people that would do that, but I would not.
No, John is actually looking nice and trim and fit, 190 pounds now.
190. Same weight I was when I got out of the Marine Corps 20 years ago.
Looking sharp, buddy. Probably the most consistent – I got to compliment you on the show because it's the most consistent I've seen you not smoke. In our friendship together, you have stopped smoking 4 to 5 times. But this is the time
– Yeah.
It's been 18 months.
18 months.
Since you haven't smoked, and you are doing an amazing job keeping up with, you know, the Softly program and the challenges we're doing with our
yeah.
buddy and all that kind of stuff. That's awesome, man. Like that's – That's I see more motivation in you for whatever reason over the last, you know, year and a half than I've
kids,
seen in a long
man.
Time. They finally got. Well, you've had them for a long time though. It's not like
yeah.
you just had children.
Yeah, but they were little and I could control them, and now they're both going to be teenagers before I know it.
Yeah, it's pretty soon, man. A few more
and
years.
It's going to be hard to fight them.
Yeah.
If I'm not fit,
you got to be fit. I like it. I like the motivation. I have to turn my chair again. We're trying to figure out how to redo this room so it's not so weird. Just like sometimes I'm just like I have my side to Drew. I don't know why I do that. It's just how the tables are set up.
Well, it's how everything was set up. It's how
because
we,
of the camera.
The camera. And,
but know. Now the way the tables are set up, it's like if we change this table too much and then we have guests.
We need a triangle.
A circle is what we're
or
thinking.
Or a circle.
About. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're thinking about getting a big circular table.
Not too big. There's not a lot of room in here.
Well, that's the problem. And also the fucking gear takes up so much space. That's kind of a bummer.
So whatever. You get a slightly larger bar height table.
Yeah, we can do that.
And then you put a
it's
short
like a
table,
side table
off
maybe
to
over
the
here.
Left.
Yeah.
That most of this crap can sit on. And
yeah.
then the mics can all sit. And you can just
sit
put four mics in the middle of the table. And then you can have the sides big enough where two people can sit at.
Are you taking
side.
Notes, Drew?
Yes. Detailed.
Yeah, I can see you are.
Yeah.
By the way, you're
detailed.
Staring at me and doing nothing with your hands.
She's like, fuck that guy. That guy hasn't been here for 6 months. What's he know?
Yeah, what are these idiot ideas about? What do you know? Thank you, patrons, for supporting the show. Remember, the extra show for September now posted. We'll do the extra show for October, I don't know, probably next week or something. This week, we're definitely not going to have time. We are jammed with freaking training this week. But make sure you guys are sending in your show ideas, whether you are a patron or just a listener. Send in your show ideas. It doesn't matter. info@trainingaz.com. We're happy to hear what they are. Just like today's show, as we often say, it comes from several listeners going, I want to hear you guys talk about this.
Oh.
And don't forget, if you are a patron, October 18th. Guys, that's only a couple weeks away now. October the 18th yeah. is our patron question show.
Ooh.
And we've got some pretty good questions so far. I've got, I don't know, probably a dozen or so pretty good ones that I think you guys definitely are going to enjoy. So send in whatever you want. And some people have sent in a couple questions we'll be answering. So make sure you send them in. info@trainingaz.com is the easiest way to email them to us. We don't care what the questions are. I've got questions right now from everything ranging from mine and Drew's relationship to hypothetical self-defense situations to how we got each one of us got started in concealed carry. Why don't I like pineapples is a fucking question we got. Stuff like that. So we've got.
Is it a taste or a consistency thing?
It's just pineapples.
He's
I find them
so
offensive.
Crazy.
Okay.
And it's like one of my favorite things to eat. So
it's
we have this
funny.
Battle in our house of pineapple.
I have thrown pineapple food. Gets this pineapple away from me.
He does. So I'll purposely, like, I like to buy the pineapple juice and drink it, and
yeah,
so do the
delicious.
Kids. And so one
of the house likes pineapples but me.
And so I'll drink it and then immediately go give him a kiss and like put my tongue all over his mouth so he has to take the pineapple.
Gross pineapples. He's like subversively making me eat pineapples.
That's evil.
He throws the pineapple gummy bears out the window. Who fucking does that as we're driving?
Everyone should, because pineapple gummies sound gross.
Except, remember when we were at SHOT Show and we had those pineapple drinks? Do you remember that?
Yeah, when we were on that.
We were on the big Ferris wheel. Remember?
That
it was the three of us.
I got fucking slammed in like 20 minutes.
Oh, that was. That
John
was
so drunk.
It was a pineapple. It was called a white gummy bear.
Yeah, white gummy bears are pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the I did drink that drink.
Drink the
we drank the shit out of those things. Well, remember, it's like $50 is like as much as you can drink in
challenge accepted
45 minutes or however long that ride is.
God, I got and so you're like, blasted.
I'm sorry, you'll give me as much as I can drink in 45 minutes.
But you can only have one drink at a time.
Have you seen me drink? Yeah.
All right. Especially when it tastes good, it goes down smooth.
Yeah.
Like I can't slam beers like that, but
oh. We were at the Pace's wedding this weekend.
Yeah.
And yeah, by the time that wedding started.
Oh, dude, I passed out when I got
home.
I
was hot to trot, guy.
I passed out.
I was wondering why when I got there you were so ornery, and then you told me.
I wasn't ornery. What are you talking about?
There, you have a very orneriness about you when you drink, which is I can tell.
What are you talking about?
You get fired up.
You do.
What do you mean I was ornery? You didn't even see me until I went walking down the aisle with the gal I had to walk with.
No, but when you talked to me afterwards, I could tell you're ready to go.
Oh, was I? I
don't know. You have this.
It's because everyone – we had to take all these pictures as the wedding party because I was a groomsman. And everyone was like, what do I do with my drink? And I'll hold it. And then I drink it. And then like, what do I do with my drink? I'm like, let me see that thing. And then I drink it. So I drank like mimosas. I drank, I don't know, some old fashions. We drank a bunch of beer standing around waiting for the bride and her entourage to show up. And it was just a bunch of dudes standing. Literally, we show up an hour early and then we just stood around.
And drank, but what else are you going to do?
Beer until they showed up. And then I started drinking all this other stuff. And then it was like, gee, Christmas. And then they wanted me to walk down the aisle, and I walked phenomenally, I might add. I nailed it. Team Middle. Holly, wherever you are, thanks for being part of Team Middle. Holly was the bridesmaid that I had to walk with. I knew her for
7 minutes. Single-serving friends.
Yeah, exactly. Single-serving friend. But I appreciate the time that we spent together walking down that aisle.
Yeah.
We nailed it.
Sure did.
Sure did. I was going to look up a news story here real quick. It's on my phone, so I got to pull that up. Governor Newsom, who we all know and love, has California has become the first state in the nation to announce vaccine requirements for schools. They're going to require children to be vaccinated before they can go to school.
You know, Arizona does that, right? But it's not this vaccine. It's other vaccines.
It is other vaccines. Yeah. But not all schools do it.
No. Public schools do.
Public schools do. Charters, privates, religious schools. You can go to a lot of different schools and do that. And that's really what this is going to affect is going to be, you know, those kinds of schools. I don't know, man.
I'm
not comfortable with it. Not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it because we had this discussion, and I want the show to turn into this because we have other things to talk about. But –
well,
this has nothing to do with me being like an anti-vaxxer, okay?
This
is the same fucking vaccines I have in my body right now? A lot.
Dude, I can't even tell you. I've got shit that was never approved by the FDA.
Yeah.
That was never even fucking tested by the FDA.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the United States military. They're like, you're going to line up and you're going to get these shots. And you're like, thanks. And then they mark it down and you're like, what did you put in me? And they're like, you're too low down here on this totem pole to be asking questions like that. Well, move along. Move along.
So my soon-to-be new group commander was airborne in like the fucking 80s, right? Like late 80s, early 90s. And he's like, some of our vaccines were just like numbers.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
this
is
six.
Yeah, this is number six. He's like, and we still to this day have no idea what the fuck it was. They were just like, here, you need to get these.
Yeah, we definitely got stuff that like regular people don't get. You know?
Yeah, anthrax, bro. Anthrax.
Anthrax.
The Department of Defense gave me anthrax.
Yeah.
Six fucking times.
Yeah, all the shit we don't talk about, right? Like,
six times I got an anthrax
good
shot.
Good old peanut butter shot, hemoglobin shot for people who've never received it. Feels like someone literally injecting peanut butter in your fucking butt cheek.
Oh.
So.
I just got sympathy pains in my ass.
Exactly. You're like, let me just rub this.
So take your grandfather's
you
wallet.
Rub mine. I'll rub yours.
Take your grandfather's wallet. put it in your back pocket,
yeah,
and go sit on a concrete slab for 4 hours, that's what that shot feels like.
It's fucking painful. All kinds of crazy shit. I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
No.
My vaccine immunization form shows I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I am anti this being forced on us.
Yes.
That's what I'm anti.
Yes.
I'm anti the idea that it has to be sold.
Yes.
And not sold, it's free. But I mean like they're using, they're bribing people to get it. They're putting it on boards everywhere, you know, on the traffic boards when you're driving down the road, the billboards and everything. They're forcing people to get it. It's like, we're here to protect you by making sure you get fired if you don't get this shot.
Right.
And when the why if it's so important that we do this, why is it that if the unvaccinated people aren't getting people sick or are, but the vaccinated people are also getting sick and getting other people sick, why aren't they being persecuted for this? Which is what this is.
Yeah.
This is insane. I could keep going, but I'm not going to because we don't have
to. Well, we're about to have the same discussion.
We're basically have to have the same discussion on something else. So before we get to that, Redwire gear moment.
I'm back. At least for a while, should be pretty consistent for the rest of this year, and then we'll see what happens at the beginning of 22.
Yeah, if we're not at war or something with each other.
Yeah.
So the Redwire gear moment I was going to cover, and John will let you cover this, but was going to be changing weather means changing clothes and access to gear.
Ooh, but does it? Does it really?
But does it? Here's where I think it changes it a little. Is now people are going to go from shorts to pants. Right. They're going to go to different belt lines. They're going to go to different belts. They're going to go to different belt loops if they're carrying concealed or other equipment, those belt loops being on different parts of pants or shorts or whatever. They're going to go to multiple layers of clothing. They're going to go to, you know, shirts, base layers, sweatshirts, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to go to gloves. They're going to go to, you know, muddy conditions, wet conditions, snowy conditions, et cetera. So it really just is not even changing the way that we look at our gear, but really the way we access our gear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
So
like, I don't really ever notice a difference because I don't generally have that many layers on anyway.
Yeah, but we don't live in that kind of world.
Yeah, we don't live in that kind of world. But there is something to be said to brushing up on getting out of a jacket, right? Mm. Like how do you wear your jacket? Is your jacket zipped all the way up? Do you have enough room to pull your jacket up the same way you would pull a t-shirt up?
And we're not just talking about access to these kinds of tools like self-defense, you know, guns and knives and everything.
Just being able to do things.
Just generally do things like gloves. I mean, nowadays people, everyone buys gloves, right? And they make gloves that are touch sensitive for your phone.
Yeah, but they're not very warm.
But they're not very warm. And so, but then you have to like figure out, okay, if in an emergency, in a bad weather condition, I'm going to have to wear gloves. Should I also have some gloves that are touch capable? Like maybe my base layer gloves are, you know, really tight to my skin and they're touch phone capable. So I just have to pull up my outer shell and not freeze or soak. You know, they make waterproof, you know, fleece lined touch screen capable gloves that you can wear nice and tight to your hands and then put outer shell gloves on them to keep you nice and warm. And that way now, okay, now I have to access my phone and I don't have voice or whatever. I can just pull my one outer shell off and access it with my one hand. I mean, that's the kind of stuff people got to think about. Maybe not us because it doesn't get as cold here in the Phoenix area. But we also go other places. And so that's important to remember as you travel. I mean, as you go places where it's going to be snowy, where it's going to be rainy, where it's going to be muddy, where it's going to be cold.
Have you ever tried to change a tire in sub-freezing temperatures?
Yeah.
That's gloves a thing to on. Think about.
Yeah. So just remember that as weather changes, it changes things. Think, sit down for a second and think, how is the changing weather in my environment or environments I'm going to potentially go to going to affect my clothing selection and or access to gear?
Mm-hmm.
Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Our topic for today, the other side of gun control.
Oof.
And why it's reasonable. And this is going to be an interesting topic. I know.
Do I get to play devil's advocate? Is that going to be my job?
I think we're both going to play a little devil's advocate here for a minute. Here's okay. Why gun control is reasonable. Right? Here's why it's reasonable. Because it is done with a reason.
Yeah.
That's why it's reasonable.
Duh.
It may not be reasonable to you.
No.
But to someone, it is reasonable. to somebody who's never been around guns, never maybe used them, and you'll see...
And only been spoon-fed information from not our culture.
And you'll see a lot... I was reading one this morning on the social media, which apparently is down right now. Oh, my God, how will we survive? But I was reading
something. Hundreds of models going broke right now.
I know, all these models. How will I have everyone like my tits without social media? All these gun bros going, how will everyone like my tattoos and beard without social media? How will people know I'm a veteran? I guess you'll just have to fucking tell them face-to-face, guy.
But I'm antisocial.
Don't worry. They'll look at your big jacked up truck with your fucking veteran plates and your your eyes served and your fucking giant CIB and everything across the back window and
your fucking SRB in your back
window. Yeah, make sure you put your SRB back there too. That way everybody knows everything you got. Make sure you put that fucking rainbow flag service medal there too. Okay, let's not forget about that little gay motherfucker.
Didn't Mason do that?
When we first had met Mason, sticker. He did have some stickers and we needed to correct his behavior, yes.
I remember that truck.
Yes.
That was that tan truck.
No. It was a shitty little black S10.
Oh, that's right. It was the black long bed. Yeah. I remember his stickers. And
yeah. We were like, unfuck yourself, kid. But anyway, not to digress.
We love you, Mason.
So social media goes downhill, whatever. But as I was reading on social media this morning, I saw a post from someone who said, they had a thing on there that was like some gal who was like, as a gun owner –
oh my God.
Let me just stop you right there. Let me just stop you right there. As soon as someone says, as a whatever.
Insert job.
As a whatever hobby or previous job. As a
shark enthusiast.
Yeah. It's like, stop right there. You're about to say something that a lot of people probably disagree with because more than likely it's not really based on a lot of factual information. Mm. Because if it was based on factual information, you wouldn't have to lead off with the fact.
You wouldn't have to qualify
it. You wouldn't have to qualify it, right? You wouldn't have to qualify it. It's a fucking fact. You don't have to qualify it. You can qualify it afterwards if you want or if someone asks. But if you're leading off with factual information, you don't do that.
As a shark enthusiast.
As a shark enthusiast.
Sharks live in the ocean.
Yeah. As a firearms instructor, always point the muzzle at the thing you want to destroy. There you go. The point is that I saw this post on there. This idiot woman says, as a gun owner, well, it wasn't just, she's not a, whatever, you took it the wrong way, but you do you. Is the, she says, as a gun owner, nobody needs to defend themselves with more than a handgun.
If you have good aim.
If you have good aim.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
If you have good aim. That. And then she's like, if you have the AR-15 or AK-47 is the equivalent of a lifted truck with spinner wheels or something like that. And it just means you have a small dick or something like that. And
I'm
like,
I have a small dick.
Yeah. And I'm like, what about all the women who have small dicks now because they own these guns? The reality is that person believes what they're saying.
100%.
And so gun control is reasonable because there's a reason to it. You just have to understand what the reason is. And people like that, you have these generals and colonels and people who are, you know, high-ranking officials, you know, special operations, you know, veterans who join the anti-gun side. For whatever reason, they believe it's the best choice. It's very, very reasonable to them. Now, what is the reason? Is the reason a possible reduction in violence? It could be. Is historically, is that proven? No.
Not even fucking close.
Not even a little, but they might believe that.
Right.
Is the reason to control people, historically, that has been proven over and 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 over again.
Right.
That reduction of weapons in the citizenry.
It makes people easier to...
Makes them real easy to rule when they can't fight back.
We can put you on a train really.
Australia, we're looking at you right fucking now.
Yeah.
So when you have these situations where you're trying to debate gun control for or against or whatever, understand it is reasonable to them. This is the same problem that we have when we're talking about violence with people and the criminal mindset and the criminal behavior. The majority of people – I'm going to paint a lot of people with a broad stroke here, okay? But I've been in this business for a little while. I've taught a lot of people. So I think I can pretty confidently say I'm not basing this off a few people. I'm basing this off literally thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people that I have been across a range from or on a range with. That the majority of people do little to nothing to understand their opposition, especially when compared to how much energy and effort they put into selecting a gun, selecting an optic, selecting the ammunition, discussing the finer points of flat face versus curved triggers and caliber selection and what kind of holster they should use and blah, 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 how fucking bright a light should be. And honestly, all the shit, like, I don't fucking care about. I just don't. I don't involve myself in those conversations. I don't fucking care about them. But those people spend infinite amounts of time doing that and almost no time doing a muck class with us or a force-on-force class with us or just reading and reviewing, watching movies, reading, you know, posts and post-action or after-action reports on events and poring over, you know, the data about what your opponent is actually doing. And that means if you're going to whatever fuck shit Stanagan fucking Irakistan, where the fuck we're headed next – right, wherever we're going next, China. Whoops, I say that loud. Wherever we're going next.
No, that's already happening.
Okay. Then
it's been happening for 5 or 6 years now.
Been happening for a bit.
Yeah.
Wherever we're headed next, if you're not understanding that opponent, you're fucked.
Yeah, because you know how you win war? You know how you win a fight? Left of the fight.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Like that. That's how you win.
That's why we call it left to bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left to bang is where fights are won.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no one's winning a fight on target, by the way.
No.
Everyone wants to be on target. Everyone wants to be at the op. I want to be down there where the shit's happening. That's where people just die.
Yeah.
That's not where the fight is really won.
Nope.
If you don't understand your opponent, what you're walking into and how to walk out of it and how to deal with them and et cetera, like if you don't understand how to just
deter. But see, there's the crux in the beginning point. There's the crux of the gun control, whatever control debate, yeah. Right? Is the two sides have no understanding whatsoever of the other side.
Of the opposition.
Right? Like there's no middle ground. There's nothing there. It's hard and fast to the left and hard and fast to the right. Mm-hmm. There is no moderate anymore.
So then ask yourself this then. Can there be a moderate? All right. So let's go back. The other side of gun control. Why is reasonable? Do you – if I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second here, if my reason is either the reduction of violent crimes or the control of individual property or maybe I'll add a third one here, the control of personal freedom, of which in my opinion and from what I've seen over the years are the only reasons gun control can exist.
Yeah, those are your driving factors.
Like it's either some kind of bleeding heart reduction of violent crime, which shows an absolute – I mean
– it's a non-starter. If you look at the numbers, the majority of gun deaths in the U.S., it's something like 50-plus percent of gun deaths in the U.S., all gun-related deaths in any way, shape, or form. Some ridiculous something like 50% are fucking suicides.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm not taking my guns out and killing people. My neighbor's not taking his guns out and killing people.
Yeah.
People that own guns are getting into dark places because of all the other shit that's going on.
Now here's a point to that. And I actually want to tell you a story I told Drew the other day about one of our something one of our clients shared with us. And so when you think about that, because that is a big part. It's a big driving point of gun controls. Like, but look at how guns allow people to kill themselves. Okay, they're done with the idea of the fact that they just commit violent crimes on their own, right? Okay, so that's a hard fight to win. But they do – we all know, allow easier access to suicides. And would someone commit suicide if they didn't have access to a gun? So let's go down that path for a second.
That's a great question.
Because I think it's a really good question, and it's something, honestly, personally, I've considered a lot, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest. I've been pretty personal on the show. I don't mind being personal on the show. Having been a little low a couple times in my life, I would definitely say that I have never considered throwing myself off a bridge.
No.
I've never considered hanging myself. I've never considered poisoning myself. I've never considered jumping into traffic. But with the availability of guns I have in my life, it sure seems an easy way out. A story that had recently been told to me from one of our students is they had a friend who had some depression issues and some suicidal thoughts. And he was battling that and he was doing good. He was winning. He was over at another friend's house and went to use the bathroom. And as he walked in through one of the bedrooms, the master bedroom, there was a pistol on the nightstand. And the thought, just because of where he was in his life and the battles internally that he was having, the thought as he walked past this thing, or saw it, I should say, not necessarily walked past it, but was like, I could kill myself with that. It's so easy. It's so easy. Now, he didn't. He went to the bathroom and then he left. But as he's relaying the story to the student of ours, who's then relaying it to me, it really got me thinking again about if there were just, I don't know, let's keep it simple. What if there were, oh God, five? Let's say five. What if there were five, I don't know, fucking firearm safety rules that, I don't know, kept your fucking guns out of the hands of shitty fucking people? That one of them very specifically says, have control of your firearms. What if we just, I don't know, made it so that if people are stupid with their guns, like when they're stupid with their cars, they have to, I don't know, be charged with incredibly violent fucking crimes. Because you're a fucking asshole piece of shit if you're leaving your fucking guns accessible to random people. I don't care who you think you fucking are. You're a fucking piece of shit and you're not a member of my fucking tribe. If you're regular, if a random fucking person.
So you're saying we should mandate
can just,
storage?
No, not mandate storage. No, absolutely not. Just like I think you should be able to shoot whatever fucking drug you want into your veins, I don't give a shit. But if you walk out in public and you commit a crime that, you know, I don't know, is already on the fucking books, I don't want any more laws.
No.
Then guess what? You get to get charged with a violent crime if that's what you committed, or a personal crime or a property crime or whatever. The same thing should apply to access to guns.
Yeah.
If someone walks into your
it's
house
almost like and gets laws access that already to your
gun, it's almost like if we just enforced the fucking laws that we had, maybe, just maybe, we could do something like
maybe if
reduce
the toaster wasn't
crime.
Broken.
Maybe
if
we
fixed the fucking
wasn't
toaster.
Broken. Yeah, we've been down this fucking path before, haven't we, John? So the point is like this is my concern, and this is where I do get really fired up about this shit, because I hear every goddamn excuse in the book about why people just leave shit sitting around in their fucking houses. And I get that it hasn't happened to you, but do you know how many people it has happened to? Do you know how many kids have shot themselves or other people? Oh, well, they weren't my kids. They were someone else's kids. Yeah. And your friend brought his kid over and you guys were chit-chatting. And then because you left XYZ sitting around the fucking round in the chamber because you're the bachelor of all bachelors and no one ever comes over to your house. And this guy, this kid picks up a gun and shoots himself or somebody else. I'm not making that up. It's a real fucking story that happened in a town I lived in Prescott Valley, Arizona. 2 miles down the road from my fucking house with two special forces dudes. And one of them got killed by his 5-year-old son. Like, this shit happens, and it happens over and over and over again. We give access to people who have an easier way to kill themselves. No one was going to the VA and jumping off the fucking roof. No one was going to the VA and hanging themselves from a lamppost. People were going to the VA and shooting themselves.
In the fucking parking lot.
That's the point.
Yeah.
No one was going there and poisoning themselves and gagging out in the parking lot. Ugh. People were going to the VA and shooting themselves, right? I've had three friends, unfortunately, take their own lives.
So should we ban guns?
And two of them.
Because of that?
Were from shooting themselves. No, absolutely not. We definitely shouldn't. But my point
why
is.
Why not? Why shouldn't we? It seems reasonable.
To
save those people's lives.
There is a reason, right?
Right? Like if it's going to save one life, why shouldn't we do it?
Because the effect it has on everyone else's life.
But we don't care about that. We only care about saving lives.
So here's the problem with mandating all that kind of stuff. Like when you realize that over 50% potentially of violent crime is suicides, and that's people just offing themselves with guns, that lends itself to an entirely different problem than access to guns. Yeah. That lends itself to an entirely different problem than guns. This lends itself to failing healthcare and mental care systems. This lends itself to failing public school systems. This lends itself to failing parents and failing families. It lends itself to failing resources that we allow ourselves to have access to, that we've given the control of the government to. I mean, this is like, oh my God, this is the shit that absolutely blows my mind. What has the government ever touched that they did well with?
Nothing.
Our roads suck. The postal service is a fucking joke. The tax system is insane. The healthcare system is absolutely shattered. This whole pandemic, if nothing else, you could just look at the last two. If you're a child, like some stupid fucking think you know everything 16-year-old kid, and you knew nothing other than the world, and you're like, bro, I know fucking everything because my teacher, I read a book. Whatever the fuck you think you know, you fucking don't, okay? And now you look around. If you were just smart enough to look around the last two fucking years, you could see how fucking absolutely irresponsible,
inept,
yeah, and thirsty for your fucking freedoms the government is. If you still think the government can manage anything, you are a fucking tool. They can't. They fucked up public schools. They have fucked up everything that they have touched. They have fucked up Afghanistan much. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we not talking about that anymore? Oh, yeah. It was like a month ago. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't fucking care about Afghanistan anymore.
Dead. I can't. I should, but I kind of can't.
Oh, by the way, on last week's show, I reported we were very happy that several different organizations, which I had named last week, were able to get 100 CIVs, civilians, and green card visa holders onto a plane in Kabul and launch them into space. Unfortunately, they were denied entry into the United States, and they had to land in Canada, which at this point is a problem all on its own.
Yeah, Canada's lost their shit too.
So it's like, if you think the government fucking cares, they don't. They fucking hate you. And the reason that they want gun control, everyone else is emotionally attached to gun control. And they're like, well, do you really need – let me just stop you right there, kid.
Don't give a fuck what you think I need.
Do you really need what you have? Do you really need – how many people drive around in a four-door car but they're only one person?
Do you need a laptop, a tablet, and three cell phones? Do you need a 5,000-square-foot house?
Do you need a side-by-side? Do you need a boat? Do you need all these books? Do you need all these children? Do you need all this education?
Oh, did you see that one? There's a new one.
Oh, yeah, where they're trying to limit the
kids.
Men over 40 who have three or more kids. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
If you people don't think that this shit isn't
coming. China actually tried that. You know what they did? They had to reverse that policy.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of violence it created. Mm-hmm. Because of the shortage in their working class that it created. Like when you're trying to introduce a policy that has already failed in a communist country, you have lost your fucking mind. You are beyond you're beyond. Like there's no reason, there's nothing reasonable behind it. There's no fucking way that you should even be allowed to continue your job.
People ask me all the time about reasonable gun control. Okay, you're in this world, you've grown up around guns, et cetera. And actually, I'll preface what I'm about to say with this. I did grow up around guns. To me, guns were introduced as a tool. Guns were just a thing. Yes, they were used in warfare. We knew that. We used them in hunting. We used them in self-defense if needed. We never even really thought about that too much, honestly, growing up. Self-defense was – this was our idea of self-defense. If someone fucks with us, we're probably going to shoot them.
Yeah.
That was like – we grew up in rural country in a small town where everybody had guns probably, and most of us took guns to school and so that we could do shit with them afterwards, or where there was a shooting team, the 4-H that we all took our guns to, or a bunch of children with guns. We didn't shoot each other or ourselves. We were responsible. We were respectful. To us, they were just another tool. I grew up with access to guns as a kid. I'm not saying that your kids shouldn't have access to guns. What I am saying is that there has to be a lot of education and understanding of safety before that freaking happens. And there has to be a mindset shift.
So then we should mandate education.
No, we shouldn't mandate shit.
Why not? Because if we mandated the education, then all the other gun problems would go away,
right? Because the government would run the mandation, right? They would totally run all that educational system. And what a great fucking job they would do. The problem is when I first – I didn't realize, honestly, that – people had gone their whole life without ever seeing or touching a gun. I mean, it was just – my dad always had a gun. It was just – my dad had a gun. I never fucking thought anything about it. My dad had a gun.
Yeah, but you didn't grow up in an inner city.
I didn't. So when I – I'll tell you, and I think I've probably shared this on the show before.
Or an urban environment in general.
When I first realized that not everybody grew up like that was when I went to basic training. Mm-hmm. And it was like week three or whatever, whenever you get your rifle. And people were like, oh, my God, we're going to shoot these things. This is crazy. And I'm like,
I'm so scared.
We're like in the army, dude. Like, this is like, we shoot stuff, you know? Like,
that's like part of the job, like, bro.
The reason I joined. I was like, I shoot a lot of guns.
I want to be the first kid on my block to get a confirmed kill.
Exactly. And you're like, how is this new? And it was a mind-blowing and very eye-opening experience to me that I would say 80% probably. It was like a whole bunch of us rural kids were all like suddenly clinging together.
Fuck yeah. You
know what I mean? We were all like, oh my God, we're like the only people who've ever shot weapons before. This is crazy. And that doesn't mean that anyone who hadn't shot weapons didn't go out. I mean, we had some experts straight out of the gate. We had people who were incredibly safe, incredibly knowledgeable.
There was a level of education that came with that.
There was a level of education like, that came with that.
This is the gun. These are the rules. If you break the rules, we're just going to smoke you until your asshole vomits.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Like that's a very special type of education. Yeah. You pretty much don't fuck up. Yeah.
And if you do, it's only once. Yeah. You're like, oh, I learned. Because some lessons we have to learn the hard way.
I'm definitely not going to do that again.
So the
point is. Now to go back to the other thing I was going to say, and that's this. Understanding that not everybody grows up that way, then we've got to look at it from that perspective and realize that not everybody has grown up that way. And I get that. I get that not everyone has all this knowledge and experience with firearms. I totally understand. So here's kind of – I'll even change tracks from what I was going to say to this. Here's kind of a challenge that I have for all of you guys. And that is this. If you meet somebody who wants to ask you about the reasonable gun control, and again, I'll go into my bit on that in a second, but my best advice to you is to take them shooting. If they won't go shooting, fuck them. Get them away from you. Get them out of your life. Get them out of everything. It's like this. I had a guy one time go, hey, would you like to go flying with me? I have a small stunt plane. Would you like to go? And it wasn't even a stunt plane. It was like a small plane he could do cool stuff in. And I was like, yeah, I have okay constitution. I don't really like roller coasters. Is it like that? And he was like, no, not like that at all. Okay, cool.
Way worse.
Totally worse than a roller coaster. And I get in there and by a couple of drops and loops and everything, coasters. I was kind of like, hey, man, this isn't for me. And after that, he was like, no problem. So we flew and he taught me – what I really wanted to know was how to handle like a pilot down situation, just in like a weird emergency response way. Like what if I'm flying in a small plane, which sometimes I do? What if I'm flying in a small plane? I don't know. The pilot goes unconscious. Like what do I do next? Literally what button on the radio do I push? What's the thing that I say and how do I make this sure this thing doesn't fucking lawn dart into the ground? That's really what I'm concerned about. I'll land this bitch in a field. Just show me how to not lawn dart it. That's all. Yeah, I don't care. I'll take it rough. Just how do I not die immediately? And he was like, yeah, let's do that. So he, you know, we did some pretend radio calls and switched to the right channels. And he's like, look, also, it's really honestly easy. Just get on the radio and say, help. And someone will fucking help.
Little help. My pilot's unconscious.
Yeah. And he's
someone
like,
help me.
Pretty much anyone who can hear you is going to start fucking walking you through the situation. He's like, let's say you're in crazy backcountry. Okay. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. Here's how you handle, you know, here's how you, you know. Every plane's a little bit different, but here's how you control the throttle and here's how you do this. And then we landed. We did some touch-and-go landings a couple times, and I actually got to land this small little plane. And I landed a couple times, and off we went, came back and landed a couple times. And then in the big landing, it was actually pretty crazy because the wind had picked up and it was a crazy crosswind. He's like, okay, we're literally going to land sideways, so I want to show you this. You can't do this right now because you don't have the skill set. He's like, but I'm going to show you. We're literally going to come in sideways and land on the freaking runway. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. And so I got to experience some cool stuff. Would I love to do that again? No, not really. Mm-mm. It's not really my thing. It's not what I would want to do again. But because someone offered me an opportunity to try something that I was kind of hesitant about, it really taught me more about how fucking stupid people are who don't want to try it at all. And that means if I was just like, nope, not interested. Nope, not going to do it. Absolutely not. No way. Never. Uh-uh. Unless you know that it's actually like detrimental to your health. Why? It's because you already have a formed opinion. Your formed opinion is based on your emotional response, and your emotional response and your ego cannot take ever being wrong. And so if someone in your life says, hey, I don't like guns, whatever, and you say, well, hey, I'd love to take you shooting sometime. Guns on me, ammo's on me, range time on me, whatever, if you can afford it. If not, okay, maybe they're gonna pony up $20 or whatever. I just want to take you shooting. We'll have some fun. We won't use people targets. We won't talk about killing people. None of that bullshit.
We'll just go put some
tin cans in the desert.
We'll
put some guns in your hand. I'll help you. You know, we'll shoot a little. Just see what it's like. If they won't do that, they're not open to discussion. Fuck them.
Fuck them in that respect.
I think a lot of it, too, really depends on the type of person and their personality. I mean, look at some of these people you can't even have a normal conversation with. If you say one thing out of line that's not in tow with them, they're freaking out, they're yelling, they're screaming. Obviously, those are extremists, but sure. What we used to think were extremists are now becoming more and more relevant and more popular, where people just start losing their shit automatically.
It's because the moderate's gone.
Well, and it's also a society that's teaching them that they can't handle conflict, they can't handle problems, and they can't. The problem with society is lack of communication. People are not talking. It's, you hurt my feelings. I need to go to a safe space. How dare you? Like, you're doing this is, I mean, that's what this whole thing is all about right now, is the fact that lack of communication and being able to resolve problems.
Well, it's a societal problem, like we already mentioned, right? It's a societal problem, to Drew's point. This is not a problem about what someone thinks is reasonable or unreasonable gun control. This is a societal problem.
You have to have a reasonable person to speak with.
So that's where I was going next with the whole, when people ask me about reasonable gun control, could we have reasonable gun control? No. It doesn't exist, and here's why. You can't – I've said this on the show before, and I say this in training a lot. You can't expect – moral outcomes from immoral participants.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can't expect, you know, value-based outcomes from non-value-based participants. So if you go into, I don't know, let's use a country as an example, Afghanistan, and you expect them to react in a certain way because that's how you want them to react, that's how you would react, you're in for a hard fucking lesson. Let's say a 20-year-long lesson about how they don't really fucking care what you have to think. And they've been doing this for a long time, and they'll just listen to your babble. Sometimes it's only a couple minutes for most people. In this case, it was 20 fucking years. And then when you leave, they go right back to doing what they were doing before because that is how they genuinely believe. And so there is no such thing as reasonable gun control when you're dealing with an unreasonable governing authority, when you're dealing with unreasonable people. Like Drew said, if they get insanely emotional and they're screaming and yelling at you, you just don't care about the children. You don't care people murdering each other and killing themselves and blah, blah, blah. It's like, whoa, actually, I care about all of that. But that isn't related to this.
Yeah. You say, we've been killing each other since the fucking beginning.
And guns aren't – look, if guns were the number one cause of death in America, if COVID was the number one cause of death in America – I'd be more concerned about both of those things, but they're not.
Not cardiac, even fucking
close. Heart disease is still the number one cause. You know where guns are? They're still far down the fucking list. I don't even know what the number is. COVID, same thing. I'm more concerned about people's physical fitness. And I'm sorry. When some giant obese person wants to talk to me about almost anything that has to do with controlling my shit, I'm like, let me just fucking stop you right there.
Catch me. Let me give you 100 yards. If you can catch me, I'll talk to you.
You can catch me, you can talk. It's like, don't talk to me about my health. Don't you fucking dare say anything to me about health. Don't you fucking dare say anything to me about how my guns are killing people. My guns don't kill anybody.
I don't have a gun that's ever killed a fucking thing. Not true. I have an air rifle that killed a fucking pack rat.
You say, I have some guns that have killed a lot of shit. But but my point is, like, when it comes to reasonable gun control, it doesn't exist. Mm-mm. It doesn't exist because this isn't about, well, does anybody really need a pistol brace or a 30-round magazine or a 100-round drum? First of all, need is not even a part of the equation. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with what you think you might want or need. It's a pretty open-ended statement there in the Second Amendment because it's very specific to allowing us to have whatever it is we want without restrictions. If the government, what Thomas Jefferson say, to paraphrase, if the government can have it and you can't, that's tyranny.
Yeah.
That's literally tyranny. When the government says you can't have what I can have, that's tyranny. What's happening in California right now? LA Police Department just approved the new MRD pistol. That pistol is illegal to own by California citizenry. How the fuck can you be even – how can you even support a system that allows its governing authorities, its law enforcement officers to have a piece of equipment that the average citizenry that they quote-unquote protect aren't allowed to have?
So why can't the citizenry have it? Like I'm legitimately
because
curious.
Because it's not on the DOJ approved list. It's not on the
California DOJ approved list. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Because it has features that they don't approve. Whatever those features may be, I don't know. There's 1,000 guns out there.
Yeah, that whole DOJ list is stupid. So you can take a Glock 19 that's green from the factory and a Glock 19 that's black from the factory. If the black one's on the list, it's legal. If the green one's not on the list, it's illegal.
Yep.
It's the exact same fucking gun.
And every time you change a thing on your gun and to get it reapproved by the DOJ,
you have to pay them a shitload of money.
It's like $300,000 or some insane amount of money like that.
It's fucking retarded.
When I was touring the Ruger factory one time, and I'm pretty sure that's what they said, was they stopped submitting their guns to get approval because they were tired of paying $300,000 every time. They're like, oh shit, we want to change this part. We want to update this gun. We want to make it better. Oh, great. It's going to cost us $300,000 to get it approved over in California. So like there's variations
they just won't sell
of Ruger pistols that are legal and variations that aren't, literally just because some of them didn't get submitted to the DOJ for approval. It's just a money-making scheme. The whole thing is
– which is weird because California is broke as fuck anyway.
We say this all the time.
What are they doing with their money?
We say this all the time that people are giving it away to fucking poor people or let me say that again, lazy people. So the problem is they – let me rephrase this. It's been said before and I'll say it again. It's not about guns and it's all about control. It always has been about control. It's never about anything other than control. It's the main part in the phrase control. They want to control. Why don't we want that to happen? Because of Australia. Here's why this is – and 1,000 other things. I'm just saying right now that's a very pertinent case.
Canada's in almost the exact same fucking boat.
Why is this so important? If I didn't want my people to rise up against me, if I wanted to do something that I knew was going to make them want to rise up against me, the very first thing I would do is convince them that it was absolutely necessary for them to give up their rights to protect themselves because it would make them safer. Don't think about it. Just do it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to make you do it. And that's the tell. The tell is always, I'm going to make you. You should be allowed to have whatever you want. Full autos, open market.
Yeah.
Suppressors. Okay. Look, man, since the NFA started in 1934, if I recall correctly.
Gang violence.
To curb gang violence, of which all it did was increase it and create basically organized crime.
They created the black market.
Between prohibition and which prohibition. It's so stupid. Is it even real? Is this a clown world? They
banned booze.
They banned booze, which creates an entirely new underground market of illegal wares, which people then defend with fully automatic weapons and literally creates the mafia and organized crime. So then they go, well, the first thing didn't work, so let's ban the guns. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then the criminals were all like, oh, yeah.
Fuck
you. We totally agreed with the prohibition thing. That's why we started underground black markets for booze. So now we're totally also definitely going to follow these rules about not having full auto machine guns. All that did was make it so the average person couldn't own these things and protect themselves. Now, with all that being said, with that massive failure, which people just historically – God, just blows my mind. It's so insane. Is it even real? It just – So the simulation's broken. So then you fast forward, all right, and all these years of the National Firearms Act, if I recall, and I could be off a little on the numbers here, but there's no way I'm off very far. By the registered owner, one crime.
That was that cop, right, that used his duty
rifle? I think it might have been a personally owned weapon that he was using on duty and he shot his ex-wife or something like that. The point is –
she probably deserved it.
I agree with Drew.
Well, I don't know. I don't know their life. I can't judge.
I don't know.
But so we're looking at the exact same thing happening right now.
Yeah.
Right? They're pushing the banning guns. The fucking Chipman, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
How was that guy even remotely?
That was even a possibility.
Right? But now you start to look at where technology is coming. I now can literally go and buy a printer. I can buy a printer and make my own fucking guns at home.
Yep. It's true.
And they're trying to ban that. They're trying to ban the files. They're going at this in every possible fucking way. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, and it's an impossible, it's an impossible end state for them as well, because there's no way that you're ever going to get all the guns in America. It's not going to fucking happen.
But they can start controlling everything else, like they've done already. They control the ammunition. They control access. They control where people go. They control how they get there. They control transportation. Yeah. They can make it. Look at what they do in New Jersey. They just make it impossible for you to take your guns anywhere. They make it impossible to put certain types of ammunition in the gun. They ban certain types of guns so you can't own those types of guns. All it's death by a thousand cuts. And if we're not standing up against this, if you're not joining organizations and being involved with organizations like Firearms Policy Coalition, I know they supported Bonnie Rotten. Jesus fucking people, get over it. All right? So they said a nice thing about a porn star who shoots. That, and people are like, fuck them, they're insane. Okay, so you're going to throw the whole organization to the wolves because they said some nice things about a porn star who likes to shoot and is a competition shooter? Okay, I mean, I guess that's one way to handle it, you simple-minded, short-framed fucks. Like, what is wrong with this? The goddamn community, we're just eating each other and eating ourselves so fucking much. No wonder we can't unite.
Aha.
Here's the thing. Here's my stance.
There's part of your control, though, too. They have divided us.
Absolutely. That's part of the whole thing.
Every fucking possible aspect.
Because if we're divided and we can't unite, then we can't overthrow a tyrannical government.
The most dangerous people in America I've ever seen was about 6 months post 9/11. That was a dangerous America.
Yeah.
Because we actually unified and believed in the same thing. Whether it was bullshit or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We actually unified for the most part. Now, not everybody feels that way, you know. Some of the Middle Eastern people who were owning gas stations at the time certainly got abused inappropriately.
Yeah.
And insanely.
Actually, the majority of those were not Muslim at all. They were Sikh and Indian.
That's what I'm saying, but people are stupid.
Yeah. People are super fucking retarded.
Mainly the American people are pretty dumb.
So to wrap this up, I'm going to say this. I don't believe in restrictions of any kind. I don't believe in control of any kind. I believe that we all need to do a much better job at educating the people around us who want to be educated. You don't have to be a professional instructor to go educate people. And really starting to tighten your circles, and I'll be honest, excluding people from your circles that don't believe in individual personal liberty and freedom. This isn't about guns, folks.
This is about liberty. Yeah.
And it's so painstakingly obvious. The lines have been drawn. It is so painstakingly obvious. I believe it won't be long before shows like this are no longer a thing, before training like what we do is no longer a thing. I think our days are numbered, honestly. And I'm sad to say that because I don't believe that most of America will stand up, just like they won't stand up about what's going on right now because their jobs are on the line. They'll fucking give in. They'll cave. They'll cave because actual disobedience is inconvenient, it's uncomfortable, and it might even be deadly. And that's more of a price than most are willing to pay. We have a nation of military service members and veterans who raise their right hand to go overseas and die for people who don't give a fuck about them. And they won't do the same thing here. What about my kids? What about your kids when you deployed? What about my savings account? What about your savings account when you deployed? You went there. You did that. Why won't you do it here? It's too inconvenient. Risking too much.
Some people still believe the system's fixable.
They are fools. All right. Drew, any parting words?
No.
That's it.
Right.
Independence training moment. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to better prepare any of our four zones for an emergency? Last week, we talked about preparing those zones for an emergency. These are the four zones: yourself, your family, your people, your community, and then the rest of your life. And we talked about that last week, of like, how do you start preparing and how do you start prioritizing preparation and all that kind of stuff. And so we changed the independence training moment, which we'd started several months ago. Instead of just including like training advice, now Drew and I are going to start telling you guys about this, because last week I told you guys this is to hold ourselves
accountable
just as much as it is to give you guys information. So what did we come up with? What did we say we did?
Well, we did talk about debt and consolidating and getting rid of and trying to make a plan to pay off debt within so long.
Yeah, so I think that for us, that was we had a big financial week this last week, just trying to figure out how we're going to get out of some of the debt that we're in financially, so that we can better secure other opportunities that we want to do. And and unfortunately, I have to mention our debt is not because we were fiscally irresponsible. It was because we had to engage in an entirely different kind of fight that unfortunately involved very expensive lawyers. But
we have a great divorce attorney if anybody wants her.
If anyone wants to know about my kick-ass divorce attorney, who's one of the coolest people I know.
And a good friend of mine.
Yeah, and a good friend of Drew's. And you're welcome to ask us, and we'll give you her information if you're in the Phoenix area. She's a badass.
Side note, living debt-free, it's pretty fucking awesome.
Hey, so, we used to be debt-free.
Used to be totally debt-free. Like, yeah, I've lived debt-free for years and years and years, and now that we're in it, it's horrible. It's horrifying. I fucking hate it.
It's another layer of shit to deal with that
Because, we're
– so that's where we're right now.
Our plan, that we're coming up with was the house that we're in. We're obviously too small, so we were discussing, preparing to how to kill this debt as quickly as possible, get a different house, and keep the one that we're in as a rental. That's one of the biggest conversations that we had for preparing-wise.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. Hopefully you guys have been doing something. We'll keep doing this every week. We'll give you other ideas. Sometimes they're going to be big. Sometimes they're going to be small, but one way or another, we're doing that.
Yep.
All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you, get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. We're traveling still to a couple more states. South Carolina, open enrollment stuff. Had to do a couple other states, unfortunately, do some private stuff, so we can't, involve you guys in that. But South Carolina, we got some open enrollment dates, the 23rd, 24th, 25th of October. So if you're in that area, take a look at our online calendar. You can see what we're doing. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix. And for any of our patrons or alumni in the Phoenix area, Drew and I are going to be having our reception on October 10th. That's this Sunday. We'd love to have you guys out. It is 6 to 9 at Fate Brewery in Scottsdale, and we just invited a bunch of people. We're going to have a ton of fun. We're even going to run a beer mile to kind of kick things off right and just have a fun time. If you want to know more about that, just send us an email and ask. You don't have to participate, but just come by, stop in anytime during that time frame. We'd love to see you and meet you if we've never met you before, but know that that is happening October 10th at Fate Brewing in Scottsdale on Shea. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other stuff that they have going on, from shows to services, publishing, transcription, even release their own gin, whiskey, and coffee now. All kinds of cool stuff that Adam and the folks over at Heroes Media Group are doing. Also, for you guys who are interested in listening more to podcast stuff, as soon as I get off this show, I'm actually going on to another show called Practically Tactical with Nick Humphreys. If you have never heard of Practically Tactical, it's a really cool podcast. Make sure you guys check it out. They have a lot of cool shows on there, and we'll be doing our show. I don't know when it goes on the air, but you guys will obviously be able to figure that out pretty quick.
We'll post it up on the Arms Room.
Yeah, we'll post it up so you guys can listen to it. We'll probably put it up on Independence Training as well. So next week, guys, we're going to be having our hunting season primer and the skills that you should practice. Got some input from our game warden buddy, Jared, who's been on the show with us before. So he kind of gave us the top things he sees hunters in general and new hunters fuck up. I'll be putting my own input into that, of course. And so will Drew and John, if he's here. And John's been hunting.
I'll be here.
And he's got some good stories about some lessons he learned immediately. So until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.